Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com. We are the official ballroom chat for everything Toronto Blue Jays baseball, from game highlights to rumors and all the stuff in between. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-host Jason Lyons and Liz McGuire. Now let's talk some Toronto Blue Jays baseball.
Evening, everybody, and welcome to another lovely evening with the Jaybird Watching Clan here at the official podcast for jaysjournal.com, part of fanside.com. First things first, did everybody survive the wild whirlwind that we went through in the Blue Jays world last few weeks? Liz, Jason, we good?
Yeah, still alive. And unusually delighted. So I like that, being alive and delighted.
Yeah. Jason? You're muted, buddy.
Unmute. There it is. I am too alive. And
first day on the job.
Sorry, I didn't have a beer yet, so that's why I was unmuted. But there you know, oddly quite excited about what's transpired over the last couple of weeks. I mean, I think as a collective group, we were worried this was going to be a bit of a snooze fest, or we were wondering what it would look like if they went wholesale, and shazam, there it is. Wholesale. Like everything must go.
Yeah. Hey, sorry, you weren't locked up for one more year. Peace out, right? Yeah.
What's your cheers to Big Bear Brewing as well.
All right.
There you go. You fooled me there for a minute. It looks like a Coors Light, and I'm like, "That you're not a Coors Light guy. You got to have something different than that."
That is Big Bear Brewing, a brand new brewing company out of Kelowna, British Columbia. I tried it on a good word from my buddy Reed Ogden that owns Bomber Brewery. You know, the brewing guys are all friends, and I got to tell you, this is a really good beer if you can get it outside of BC.
I'll have to remember that one as I'm wandering around like usual. So on that note, I kind of feel like I'm waking up from a weird hangover, everybody here, because like I said, I was not expecting this to go off without a hitch, get anything good in return. I figure we were going to get the bottom feeder of bottom feeders for somebody like you, say Kikuchi, which turned into the biggest fleecing in recent baseball history, I think. So I got to give some credit where credit is due. The Blue Jays front office, I will not say
whoa.
I don't think he did it. The Blue Jays front office finally did something. Yeah.
I will say this. That Ross Atkins BS press conference that he had with Sportsnet the other night, what a hokey doke. Like, I mean, I don't know what kind of idiocy is being fed to the powers that be at Blue Jay, at the White Tower there. But, I mean, good Lord. Like, just pandering to the lowest common denominator. And, you know, we're still in it for the fans. Like, shut up. Like, I mean,
if you were in it for the fans, we would have actually done something this year.
Yeah. I mean, and they would have let Kiermaier sing the anthem before he left if you were in it for the fans. Like, let's not split hairs here. So, I mean, it's,
yes.
I, you know, I think we'll dive deep into this. As you guys probably know, I've been away for a couple of weeks just running my butt off for baseball. But I mean, some of these trades are jackassery, and normally we don't see that coming back towards the Jays. So, I mean, if that was Rox Atkins or he had anything to do with it, then bully for you, buddy. You know, have a day. Everybody has a day.
I agree. I'm just going to build on Jason's comments there. Man, I wish our front office weren't such nerds. Like, these are people you couldn't talk to about anything. I mean, I don't even think they like baseball, to be honest. Like, that is my true belief. These people are, like, probably pretty good at math. Don't like baseball. And wouldn't sit in the 500s.
No, ever. That's my,
they, ever, ever, ever.
Too right? many they top buttons done up for that.
It's too, they cannot breathe in the five. The air is too light. Agreed. So, and so I'm pumped about this trade, but this trade kind of, whether it's good or not, is whether they sign Vladdy. If they re-sign Vladdy, I'm willing to be like, this was great. You know, we got a bunch of young guys in our system. Because, and if you look at like the tweets and whatever's going around, you know, of course the casual fan base is going to say, is this all we got? We got rid of this guy, you know, and this is all we got. But you're like, what did you expect? You know, what did you expect? And so
I'd be interested to hear from you guys who your favorite trade or who you guys think is the most either dark horse or best part of. Because, I mean, I've tried to go up and down and figure out who I think is the best steal. and I'm not 100%. I think we could. I mean, Liz, who do you think is the best? I know you've been in the bush, but
I've been in the bush for, like, I straight up. Here's the thing. I don't know. I am so nervous. She's been in the boat. I've been so nervous about betting on young guys that, like, I've been burned before so many times that, like, I don't know until I see them play like a team. You know, as we know, you can put together the best team ever and they're gonna suck. But, like, I don't know. So
what do overall, you think?
Yeah.
I think Loperfido is the easy win, right? He's already played some games with the Astros in the majors. He's already on this roster playing, and he's the shoe-in, I think, for the person, at least what the casual Blue Jay fan's going to see first from all this, you know, throw-out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's the only one that's on the show. But to that point, I've been watching the last few days. I've been watching a lot of Buffalo Bisons baseball when I can, highlights, all that kind of stuff. Willie Wagner was one of the guys we got back, got his first RBI. And it was a rope that he hit in the right field down the line today to drive in, funny enough. Jonathan Clase, that was the other guy.
I think
we got in. So he is sneaky athletic for such a tall guy. I was really kind of surprised. Clase.
I think Clase is a snipe. Like, I feel like that guy has, I mean, if you're in the top, hovering around the top 10 of any major league team in their prospect list or in their futures list, and you can scoop him up. I mean, I feel like the Mariners, even though the Mariners did improve, I feel like between the Mariners and the Astros, the Jays fleeced both of them pretty solidly. You know, even I know we've been a bit butt stung for the last couple of years on a few trades with the Mariners and, you know, some things like that, but I mean, even a guy like Cutter Coffee, who, I mean, he looks like he's the prototypical, you know, infielder that the Jays keep having success with. And he's a thick kid. And then one of the guys that went to the Vancouver Canadians hit a home run last night in his first AB. And I think he had four RBIs in the game. It seems like win. And we got rid of Trevor Richards. Like, I mean, what baseball god looked over and was like, oh, that silver-haired loser's got to go. Get out of here, Minnesota. Enjoy that 7 ERA you got coming at you.
Yep. So I do, Zine, I just had this highlight handy from today's Buffalo Bisons game. I'm going to share this one with you all. So going to, funny enough, it's the Blue Jays' actual account, right? But watch how hard he hits this ball down the right field line. It just ropes it right down there. And this is the part that I like about Jonathan Clase. Clase, I think is how I'd say it. But he is on fire running around that base. Look at how jacked up he is.
Let's go.
And he's into it. That's the thing. You know, it's like, okay, he could have lollygagged that way from, you know, second to home and gotten there. But he made it look good, and he obviously got his new teammate in RBI, and at the time put the Bisons up one game, one to nothing, for a team that has been struggling to win games because clearly all their major league ready guys are up with us right now. So the Bisons have been really trying to string it together. They just promote a boatload of guys from Double A too. So there's a lot going on in Buffalo right now.
Do you guys think that for some reason they picked on anybody who had a K in their name in the trade? Like, if you had a K, you were out. Like, I mean, I don't know what their problem is with K's in your name, but the more you had, the faster you went out the door, seems like. Yep.
Yeah. I will say the sneakiest move might have been actually them getting something for Double K.
That was wild. I saw that and I was like, they got him off the books. And not only that, but like, listen, we all know, I think the Double K is so fine. And he just melts you. So we're like, go get your ring, my guy. Yeah. It's like,
yeah,
I'm with you. So are we going to have any kind of, I don't know if you guys did while we were gone. You probably had a little bit, but can I just have 1 minute to, in memorandum, say goodbye to Danny Jansen? Fair trails, my good man. I will also give a big nod of the cap to IKF for a guy who came in, did his effing job, and might get an extended payday out of this. And, you know, hopefully for him, he seemed like a good dude. He seemed like he came to do what he wanted to do. And a small props to JT for realizing that what they did disappointed a whole country, basically, is what he said. And it's nice to see that they understand that. So that's my small memorandum.
In memoriam is to my guy, Cooch, the Cooch. I loved the trajectory because your career was complicated. And then we all rooted for him. Like, he showed up pitching, you know. I don't know what was going on in his brain. I remember thinking that perhaps there was a Freaky Friday situation and he had been body swapped in his first season with the team. Because I was like, he doesn't seem very good emotionally.
Yeah. Right? Remember, like, Barrios was like that too, though, right? Remember when Barrios went for all Freaky Friday on us too? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Who is this dude?
Yeah. And so that is a theory I have. Yeah. Sometimes people get Freaky Friday. But yeah, man, you know, I miss the Cooch. We love the Cooch. He was great. He is big. He just slept a lot. You know, what a great guy to have in your team to be like, you know, he's not going to cause trouble. You know, he's not out there wild.
Because he's asleep.
He's asleep. He's reading books and being asleep.
Ironically funny thing of that whole thing is there was a lot of interviews over the last few years with him on this team that the guys get asked in a random interview, that, you know, the silly questions, right? Who's the funniest person on the team was always the one that everybody likes to sneak in and throw in. A lot of them said Yusei Kikuchi, and I thought that was insane. I was like, really? You know, the guy looks like he's half asleep all the time because he looks like he just shows up and he's ready to pitch. But apparently in the dugout amongst the gang, he is one of the funnier ones in the group. So maybe it's a delivery thing.
Yeah, way, because it's coming through an interpreter. As his team. Funniest interpreter in the game.
English.
So good. back to the Double K thing and Justin Turner, I couldn't believe that Turner actually said that. And I'm glad he did, because he's wearing what we all have been wanting somebody to own up for. And his health, honestly, was part of the reason why he didn't perform as good as he did. And he was finally starting to find it a little bit here, I feel like, the last few weeks. But to that point, the fact that you could tell he wanted to win here, regardless of the fact that he was only here for one season.
Just building on the JT thing, he's the type of guy, he's a good clubhouse guy, which is great. He got here, he was hitting balls. That was fun. That was a fun time for us. But it was like, I think it was Canada Day, he had decked out cleats. Or like, he had decked out Junior J's cleats. Like, he was a guy who was like into this team. He was into Canada. He was into the kind of the whole vibe of the country. So it was nice to hear him say, yeah, I didn't do it. We didn't do it.
We screwed up.
And nobody else did. You know what? Who should have been saying that? I don't know. Like, if we have a team leader right now, but whoever that would be, whether it be George Springer, whether that be Vladdy, whether it be Bo, but like somebody just fess and be like, we're sorry. It didn't work out the way we thought. And actually that should have been our management. Oh, about 3 months ago.
Oh, I was going to say, just to be that person to pour gas on the fire. This wasn't enough.
Yeah. So it wasn't. It wasn't enough. You know, the thing is that I'm disappointed that we're here and it's unacceptable. Listen, we spent months of, I tip my cat. We like our guys. This was last year. You say this to us last year. And you make changes based on that. Because it's no surprise that we're still here again. I think I read a tweet that said Ross Atkins would be the worst guy to trade baseball cards with because he'd just always be like, I like my cards. You know?
Just figured I'd put that right there. Because when I saw that 5 hours before the trade deadline was ready to go, that was like, really? That's the one you're going to throw into the room? You're finally going to say that? Not when Barrios pulled last year, not during the offseason when we didn't get anybody to show up. You're going to say it now. You know?
Yeah, it's unfortunate, you know, that I think I feel like this management group has run its course with this team and with the fans. And there's very little you can do. I mean, we can't make any decisions. I mean, you can just keep sucking and then eventually they'll get fired. But I mean, it's hard for me when they seem to have a little bit of foresight and they're like, okay, well, you know, let's put Ross out in front of this thing because we don't put anybody out in front of anything. Very unaccountable, the Jays management are. So I feel like, you know, if things don't change within the first month or two of next season, I think he'll be gone at least. So, I mean, at least, you know, at least we can plan that parade date for now. You can put that, maybe mark that down on a calendar somewhere that, you know, maybe 2 months into the season if the Jays are off.
It sounds like one of those Jason Lyons bold predictions.
Well, we need a sound for that. This just in, Ross Atkins is an idiot. I mean, it's, you know, I feel like it's been more than a disappointing season. I don't think that management wears it well enough. I understand that I can't say I think the Jays probably won the entire, if it wasn't the Jays, maybe it was the Dodgers that won the entirety of trade deadline day. The Jays are in the top three, I think. Like, I think if you comparatively look at who they got, what they got rid of, especially what they got rid of, because I think if you're comparing the Dodgers or the Rays, they improved, where the Jays sort of did, but not directly on the field. But
well, the biggest thing that the Blue Jays did in this is they might, keyword, and we're emphasis on the word might, we might have gotten under the salary cap thing for the luxury tax with all these trades.
Yeah, I think we did.
The season.
I think we
so
did.
It apparently, it's like right on the line because there's been some articles of people trying to fudge the math.
And they like also picked up guys
down the middle.
Yeah, they picked up a bunch of guys that don't have to clear waivers. So they can just keep. Like it's just a mathematical transition. You got to step out of the dugout. We're going to send you down. And then an hour later, we're going to bring you back up. So just go to Starbucks and come back. Or remember in the preseason when the Mariners took the bullpen car to where did they take it to, like Carl's Jr. or something like that and ordered food for everybody. That's what they do to those guys. They get in the car and they go and then they come back.
Yep. So just want to mention on episode 419, before we talk some more of the guys that we got back here, make sure you hit those like and subscribe buttons, everybody. We see 25 of you in the chat room. Say something. Tell us what you're thinking. We want to read it. We're live. We're going to see everything you're all talking in our comment window here. So wherever you're listening, give us that, you know, like and drop a comment in so we can chit-chat with y'all. So the one move that I really liked was I thought we were going to keep IKF. We had another year of control. They did sign him to a 2-year deal. There is enough reason. Obviously, he's a key piece to this club. Maybe if they are going to compete, if he does any piece of what he's doing right now, obviously he's coming back from injury, is ready to. He was playing in Buffalo the night that he got traded. But to that point, out of all the people that I've been looking at and trying to get any kind of bearing on, is I'm going to put my old school label for Jays Journal when I was writing. I was the minor league guru at the time. So I was the guy who was always eyeballing the young players in the minor league system and everything like that. I don't know how to say his name yet, but the gentleman that we got back in the trade for IKF is this gentleman right here. Charles, I think it's McDew?
I think it's McDew, isn't it? There's a cup. By the way, we did also acquire the all-name team. Like, Gilberto Bautista, Edison Paulino, Cutter Coffee. Like, just it's a who's who of nobody.
Power names.
Yeah.
Power names.
Power names. But to that point, watching this kid swing in a few videos, this just happens to be the one that was put up on the Blue Jays when they announced the wonderful, hey, he's here. He's a Blue Jay.
It's McAdoo now. For sure.
McAdoo. Yeah. So, but anyway, he McAdooed the living shit out of that ball.
Just saying. Really? He did it. He McAdooed.
It feels nice so bad swing. When we're going to start calling him McAdoon when he goes into slumps.
I know.
Don't do that to me yet.
McAdoodle-doo. Like, I see a whole bunch of t-shirt prospects here.
Yeah.
Well, I have to get that going on our account here and make sure we get some fun ones going. So anyways, if anybody else has got any fun nicknames for any of the new people that have already shown up, please drop them in the comments. But we talked about the Blue Jays returns, obviously. We said goodbye to a few people here in the first 20 minutes of the show. Looking at the major league landscape in this, there is a lot that happened outside the Blue Jays. And to your point, Jason, I think we're in the top five as far as who won the trade deadline. My question is, in this group here, with what you saw happened, who did win the trade deadline? Was it the Dodgers doing what they did, getting, I'm blanking on his name, the pitcher from Detroit?
Oh, that's you can stop right there.
Used to be a Cardinal.
Yeah, that's the best get of the entire
Flaherty.
Jack
Flaherty.
Jack Flaherty. That is the best get of the entire, for the Dodgers to be able to secure a guy that's that good and has lots of potential still, I still don't think he's had everything unlocked. And the Dodgers seem to be very good at unlocking pitchers, maybe a pitch they don't throw very well. They have a great system. They have a great pitching coach. It'd be a really good place to play, I think.
Yeah. As far as the other teams, obviously the Yankees are reaping all the benefits of what it looks like when Jazz Chisholm actually shows up and plays the game of baseball.
Who's that guy? Who's the guy that showed up in that Jazz Chisholm jersey? It's not Jazz Chisholm.
More Freaky Friday.
No. it's more Freaky Friday at this
totally
point.
Totally different dude.
Jazz Chisholm was always, I always figured he was a good change of scenery candidate just because the Marlins cannot build a team around somebody like him. And I don't feel like they know what they want to do with building a team either. They lean some weeks for pitching, some weeks for hitting, and then they move him all over the place. Great, crazy, good athlete, right? But the Yankees bring him in. I'm not saying he's going to continue to hit four home runs every two games, but I can't believe what you're seeing from Jazz Chisholm. And they got him for a long time now still, too.
I'll tell you this,
that's kind of scary.
Here's what I see with a guy like Jazz Chisholm. I see a core other than Judge, and I'll give Stanton, and I'll put Juan Soto in this that category as well. The rest of them seem like spoiled, ungrateful turds. And what they've got is a guy like Jazz Chisholm who comes in like this, and people are like, who's this dude? And he's playing third base better than anybody's played third in 4 years in a Yankee uniform. He's hit the ball all over the place.
Gio Urshela was the best one in the recent memory.
Yeah, he's an idiot. And so if you take a guy like Jazz Chisholm, and you might be dead on right, buddy, that all he needed was a change of scenery. And he's been a big league player, like a big, big, big star player for years. But he hasn't done anything
cover of MLB the
in
show
years.
Last year.
Yeah, like he's the absolutely ridiculous guy. He's the purple cleat dude. Like all of this stuff that he had going for him, and then he just sort of fell off the map. And that happens in Florida. But
the Yankees will know what to do. Like the Yankees will know what to do with that, right? Like that's it. Like I think that I think that maybe the Marlins were just like what, but in terms of like, I think I don't know. I feel like Aaron Judge is like. A good maybe like he just needed some good kind of clubhouse leaders. I don't know. Maybe that's insane, or maybe the pressure was on him. Maybe this takes it off, but he's not the guy anymore, right?
That's what I think it is. I think that the pressure of not being the only name on a terrible team. I mean, it must just be a piano on your back every time you show up the ballpark. And
look at
like,
Vladdy.
God. Well, yeah, but the nice thing with Vladdy is Vladdy acts like a 13-year-old. So. Hopefully it's just water off a duck's ass, right? So hopefully he can get through the rest of this. But Vladdy's gone the opposite way. He's like, you're going to take everything away from me. I'm going to smash everything.
Let's go.
I'm going to prove to you that I'm one of the best hitters in baseball. I'm going to prove to you that I want to run this team and prove to you that I'm going to be worth a lot of moolah in a couple of years. And so to your point, Liz, I agree with you, and they should strike while the iron's hot with Vladdy right now. Back the truck up, flip the lid, and be like, Vladdy, you're here for the rest of your career. This is it, unless you go somewhere weird at the end. But yeah,
why would you want that, Jason? Why? Look at this; it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
And do you guys think that maybe the extra pressure of being sort of the biggest star on the team has finally come to roost, where he's like, oh shit, yeah, I was an all-star, and oh, I've done that, and oh, I'm a Gold Glover, and I'm all these other things. What am I doing? Like, it's like he just woke up and was just like, oh, that's right, I'm pretty good at this game. I'm going to play it at the highest level I can and so, you know, it harkens back to a guy like IKF who worked his bag off for the whole year. And I mean, you know, back to bully for him. I hope he has success in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh seems pretty excited to have him. He fits a good void in Pittsburgh, sort of that Andrew McCutcheon-ish, you know, vibe where he's got some tenure underneath him. And you know, I got nothing but good things to say about IKF. If I want my kids to look at a baseball player who got treated like trash in New York, and then when he finally got out, he showed what kind of a ball player he was, you know, tip of the cap to the old IKF. Oh,
our show here are saying the same thing too. Jeremy mentioned that same sentiment of missing IKF from this team for the time being, but to that point did get something pretty good in back for him. So yeah. I really think there's something to that. So
for a second we'll there, I thought that was Jeremy Piven what was the show?
From
Entourage. From Entourage fame. Jeremy Piven, if you're out there listening too, you can comment as well.
Say what's up.
Yeah, we just like to say,
I was always one of the biggest fans of that movie PCU, Politically Correct.
Oh, what a movie. What a movie.
The weird frat guy that he was.
Yeah, what a great movie that is. He also played he was a great Dean Pritchard in Old School.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
I forgot he was the dean in that one, which is the complete opposite of the one I just mentioned. So he went full circle in college.
Also,
movies.
He was really good in the Car Salesman movie. I can't remember what it's called. Hot Stuff or something like that.
I love that movie. The Goods.
The Goods, that's right. Goods. That's a good. So we actually like Sneaky Jeremy Pridham. Yeah, we like Jeremy Pridham better than we like Jeremy Piven. But,
And Jeremy, thank you for commenting. We appreciate it. Keep it up. Yeah. We'll make sure we get you on. So, on that note, we talked Jazz Chisholm. Justin Turner is now a Seattle Mariner. A Seattle Mariner team had a hell of a trade deadline with everybody that they were able to ensue. I'm looking at the quote-unquote all traded MLB team right now, and obviously Randy Arozarena and
I wanted
Justin
him.
Turner coming to that team help a lot.
I was the only one who was like, can we get Arozarena?
You're still the only one.
There's
people in Seattle that are like, give Liz what she wants.
Please give me this player. Yeah. I hated watching him catch every ball all the time against us in Tampa. And I hate Tampa deeply. Like our rival is Tampa in my heart. I feel like that's your rival. You know when you see your ex and like no matter what, you kind of fall apart. And I feel like every time we go against Tampa, we just fall apart. I wanted a Arozarena. I don't know why. I just did. That's my update. But, like, do you guys see, given the moves that the Mariners have made, do you see them making a run anytime soon again?
Yeah. You know what? They were 10 games up. They were 10 games into it, and they are a good team. Yep. They have the best pitching. I would argue that they have the best pitching in the league. You know, Dodgers give them a little bit of a run for the money. Phillies obviously have great pitching, you know, so you can talk about those three, but I really feel like the Mariners, and as much as it kills me to say, because I can't stand anything from Seattle, I'll give up on a Starbucks, but you know, I cannot stand the Mariners or the Seahawks. So to see them, or, you know, for me to have to say the words come out of my mouth, I think they're going to make a run at it. I really think they do. And I think they have all the guns to do it now. Julio Rodriguez is healthy. All the guys that were hurt are healthy. The guys who were playing like crap are now playing really well. I think, didn't they send down Ty France finally? So they've got at least a guy who can catch playing first base. Oh, good. Thank God. That guy's the worst first baseman in baseball. How that guy's making any money playing.
That's why they bought him. That's why they wanted JT.
Yeah, good. Yeah. That's an upgrade. JT with his glove on the wrong hand is an upgrade.
Truth.
Yeah. Yep. There. Shots fired, Ty France. Yeah. Come at me, bro.
I think our friends on the Walk Off podcast, Seattle Mariners Walk Off podcast, that is, would also tend to agree with you on that one, because he was trying to dump the one episode I jumped on. He was trying to sell me Ty France something awful. And I'm like, nope, not thinking about it.
Nope,
not doing it. Can't touch that one with a 10-foot pole. I don't care how many years of control.
Yeah, nothing.
To me, I got Spencer Horowitz that'll play first base if I really needed to with Vlad. It's not a big deal.
I just I don't know if you guys know this or not, but did you guys know that Spencer Horowitz was drafted as a catcher and played his first couple of years in the majors as a catcher. In fact, when he was asked to play another position, he said, and I quote, "I haven't done that since before high school." Can you imagine? You're on the Blue Jays, and they're like, "Hey, buddy, we know the jersey fits, so you're gonna play second." And he's like,
"Absolutely,
all right, let's do this.
Game on."
Yep.
No, that's interesting. That's that's a lot of people forget where people played when they were in the minor leagues. Everybody forgets that Carlos Delgado was a catcher too.
Yeah, same with
the rookie cards I have of Carlos Delgado are as a catcher.
Same with the Rainmaker.
92-93.
Yep. He came up as a catcher with the A's, and they had no room for him.
Papa Biggio was a catcher.
Yeah, Papa Biggio was a catcher.
So, speaking of people that made out on the trade deadline, Biggio. How ironic is that? Biggio, Double K get to play again together. So that's
Biggio's been killed. I don't know if you guys
Teoscar.
I don't know if you guys have been watching, but Biggio has been playing great. Defense is, and I mean, I think we always knew that if he ever got an everyday position with the Jays, he would be good. Craig has referenced many times that when Bo and Vladdy and him were you know, Buffalo Bisons, he was the best of the three. And everybody matures.
MVP of the AA the year before that.
Everybody matures at a different rate. And I'm happy for Biggio. I still have that cutout piece of paper downstairs. I keep it close to my heart. You know, where is Kevin?
I have a Lansing lugnut with all three of their, a hat with all three of their autographs on in the back room.
you can't help but not. Like, you got to root for Kevin. Like, I don't know. He just didn't swing the bat.
No, he didn't.
Yeah,
and his pants were
oddly
tight.
One I really
tight.
Can't help but root for, but I don't want. Yeah, exactly. But I'm gonna end up doing it anyway because I would love to see Danny Jansen win. The Red Sox are the underdog story right now. That's the catch, right? And I'm like, okay, well, Danny Jansen. As much as I hate the Red Sox, I just like Danny Jansen too much. I know I'm wrong, but I love Danny. I love Danny. I've met him too many times. I love him. I want to see him win. No, so I'll love Danny later, I guess. To your point, Liz.
How about this? If the Red Sox are the team that makes it out of the AL into the World Series, will you cheer for Danny Jansen and his Red Sox?
Probably not. Honestly,
just against the Dodgers.
Probably not. I can't do it.
Look up.
I just like trash in that uniform. Come on.
Yeah, I agree with that statement. It's too much red as I'm wearing a fucking Lansing Lugnuts red shirt. My problem is I feel like that's about how I feel right now after, the last week.
That's good.
Look,
did the Jays actually play any baseball in between here? Or have we just been,
I don't know if they've been playing it well would be the,
are we going to breeze by the fact that, that what's his name? Jackson Holiday.
Yep.
Came up and hit a 500-foot grand salami as his first home run.
Good for him.
First day.
You know,
first day on the job.
They brought him up. He was just a little baby. You know, how scary would that be?
Scary.
To be brought up that young. Really scary, and he didn't work out. No.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health. Their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Yeah, but like, he had good experience, and I'm so happy that that happened to him. Like,
you know what I find really insulting, though? No. I was actually watching the game when it happened, and they were right afterwards, they were talking about, and I don't know who it was. It was that the weird guy who, he's on the Jays broadcast. He used to be a back catcher, bad hair.
Oh, it's Caleb Joseph.
Right, Caleb Joseph.
Yeah.
He's like, you know who else had a stumble to the start of his career was Willie Mays. And I'm like, did you just compare Jackson Holliday to Willie Mays with a whole bunch of people listening to you talk about it? And I was like, dude, and he kept making comparisons.
It was untouchable in a conversation.
And he's like, Willie Mays, of course, is possibly the greatest player. And no one knows, but you're like, dude, draw any other comparison. There's been Mike Trout had a terrible start to his season. He got sent down twice. Pick him. Don't pick
anybody.
Willie Mays.
It happens a lot. Anybody. It happens a lot.
Exactly. It happens a lot.
And let me get this 100%. Off my chest. I want to get this off my chest. It is not acceptable for youth kids at U13, U11. U9, but don't wear 42. Stop it. I see it all the time. Get it off your back. It's low class. Take it off. It means something important. Take it off. Don't wear 99 in hockey either.
I was not aware of this rule. I'm going to enforce this rule and just start slapping kids I see.
If you see anybody with a 42 on, just ask them if they know what it means. Ask them if they know what the representation of it is. And if they're a little white kid,
correct,
look them right in the face and be
this
like,
actually, this guy,
give
this
them the story.
This happened to me. I was walking through the park. The kids were playing catch. This is like, sounds like a lie. It actually happened. And they were like, I don't know.
One of them hit you with a line drive? No, I'm kidding.
No, man. No, that only happened one time. Second time. We're not coming back from that. So the kids are like, I don't know who Jackie Robinson was. I don't know. I think he was some kind of baseball player. And I stood in the middle of the thing and said, he broke the color barrier in baseball. He's extremely important. He was like,
yeah. And not to mention one of the best baseball players ever too.
and I just broke it down.
Biggest part of the story too.
He didn't just play baseball. You know, he faced so much racism.
He changed baseball. Actually, Jackie is responsible for changing almost all sports. He took a barrier that was there in every sport and he changed it for the good forever. And I mean, it's it's one of those things where you, and I didn't mean to go off on a tangent there, but I don't know why I did.
Let's go.
Was there lightning somewhere? The metal plate in my head goes off sometimes. The microwave, you're using the microwave. Stop it. You know, it's, but yeah, that's all I said. I upset it.
Don't be breezy about it. Let's go.
But to that point, it should, if somebody's wearing that number in any sport, in my opinion, they should know why. It means a lot to so many people, period. Yeah. And they should be educated on that story, because it is, first off, it's one of the best American stories you can ever have, right? Yeah. Literally nothing to something, right?
And then he played in Canada.
Color barrier.
Yep.
Played in Canada. Played everywhere, played amazing baseball at every level he played at. Was the, you talk about role models in anything, not even just sports. It's 100%. That is the pedestal. You got, if you want to be an influence person to that kind of level, Jackie Robinson is the kind of bar that you want to set yourself up to, right?
It's so, the two hardest things anybody ever did in sports. The two hardest things anyone ever did in sports was Jackie be Jackie. Jackie performed the way that he did, play the way that he did, heart, hustle, the whole thing. And the manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers to have the stones to say, I see that there's better baseball players out there, and I want them. I want the Brooklyn Dodgers to be the best team in the world. And the only way and they're going to do that
players I can
is
find.
With all those really awesome dudes over there that would crush us. If we played that team, they would crush us. And, you know, it changed the way that it changed everything that we have. It changed hockey. Yeah. It changed baseball. It changed everything.
Yeah. And then I'm going to build off of where you were just going a little bit there, Jason, because this is still little known. This year, Major League Baseball and the Negro Baseball Hall of Fame decided to basically team up. The Negro League stats are 100% accurate for all day Major League Baseball. They are considering the stats that happened in the Negro Leagues as baseball history that is commingled with the stats of Major League Baseball, as it should be. To your point, that league was just as good as everything going on over here with, you know, the regular everyday Major League Baseball. It should be all in one thing. And now these stories, you finally get to hear the other stories outside of Jackie Robinson that are actually records that are better than some of the guys that everybody knows. Yeah. The Babe Ruth stories, obviously. There's just as many people in the Negro Leagues that were doing just as good things and exceeding those gentlemen. So I'm glad it was. And honestly, I still love that the fact that they finally did that records commingling, that MLB The Show still does that thing every year where they actually do the stories with the Negro League players. And hearing the fact that, you know, for young ladies, that women played in the Negro Leagues and were just as good as the guys. Tony Storm being one of the ones that
some of those,
is
some
a
of those,
big story in that.
Yeah, some of those women that played in the Negro Leagues, if you comparatively move them over into the majors, would have been better than a lot of the big names that the majors had at that point. Which is awesome to say. You know, we have a girl that plays on our U13 AAA team, and this is just an absolute buzz to her. So she tried out for the U14 and U16 for Team BC, and she made them both. Like, are you serious? Like most boys, even the best boys, probably could not do that. Yeah. And not only is Daphne one of them, but I think there's three of them from our league as U13 players. If I'm not, Daphne will slap me on the wrist if I'm not right, but I'll take that. But I think there's three girls from our league that have done the exact same thing. So, I mean, it's awesome to see. And, you know, it's such a cool part of history that, you know, I made sure, even though 42 is not the most politically correct movie to watch with your 9-year-olds, my kids saw it at 9 and they understood the value of what was being said. And I feel like they, you know, even today when we see it, we go to a tournament, we go somewhere and somebody's wearing that number. You're just like, they just look at me and I'm like, I don't know, guys, I wish I had an answer for you. There's 99 other numbers.
With it.
99 other numbers to pick when you play baseball, pick any other one.
Yeah. Anyway, any last words on that one before I untangent our tangent?
Nope.
Which was worth it. 100% worth it. So, anyway, to that point, if you can play, you can play. It's that simple. So, Let's get back to talking Blue Jays baseball and to where you started steering the ship, Jason, back to getting us off all the other stuff. And then you just went right off the rails again. So this team over the last week, we lost the since last week's recording, we lost the last game against the Rays. We took it to school against the current World Series champs, the Texas Rangers, and made them look pretty damn rough, which I'll give you 50-50. It was we were looking that good, or if they were that rough.
Rough.
50-50. I agree with the rough statement. Yeah, and then we got completely obliterated by the Baltimore Orioles the last 3 days. So, to that point, over the last week, we have seen nothing but, I will say, exceeding MVP levels of Vlad Jr. We have seen some good pitching performances. We've seen some awful pitching performances, including what I'm going to say is just got to be the toughest, grittiest thing I've ever seen in sports. Period. And that is watching James McCann take a Yayrod pitch to the face in a bat and not only picking himself up and dusting himself off and shoving the gauze into his damn nose, but never leaving the game and still catching the rest of that game in a doubleheader. Freaking wild.
Nuts. Nuts.
Listen, I'm gonna speak as an expert of someone who's got slammed in the face with a baseball going very high speeds and then staying at the game, specifically not playing. But here's the thing, guys, he would have been in such shock. You're just like, yes, I can do anything. Let's go. You're just like buzzing. Like when I got hit, I stood up and I was like, whoa. Like, so I think that, but the thing is, this is the other side of this coin, which I commented on Twitter. 3 days later, I was like, whoa, I'm hella dizzy. The room is spinning and I can't stop throwing up. The thing is, concussions kind of get you later.
Something might be wrong.
Something might be wrong. Because yeah. I was like, oh, I can get a concussion. That's wild. Turns out I was in shock for a while. But, you know, I don't know how he's feeling today. I hope he can come out of this concussion free. I don't know how you could. I bet he's looking pretty black and blue.
Yeah.
But oh, like, you haven't seen you've been in the bush. You haven't seen the pictures. Yeah. The best one is see if you can find it afterwards. The one where he has his mask on, like his catcher's mask back on, and his face is like crammed. It looks like some, you know, like this one.
Yeah.
But then the gauze is like sticking out sideways, and it's it's pretty sweet, like, actually.
I get that it was a doubleheader, and yeah, it's sweet. But like, I just like, I hope that like he can kind of get out of this because like when you, he needs his eyes.
Take a knee, fella.
You need your eyes. There's other catchers. Yeah, there's other catchers. You need your eyes a lot. And also, you need to know what day it is and where the ball is. You got to be quick. So when you're heavily concussed, things, you're in like a different world and things are slow. So I don't know.
Hope it's hard to tell in the video if it actually hit him straight on or if it kind of like was a, like while it was coming in, it kind of like glanced across and just happened to catch the, like, you know, going across his nose. That's the only reason I can, because if he was concussed and they did the tests and everything while he was there, you could see him doing it. They wouldn't have let him stay in that game at all.
You can pass the test because you're just like jacked. You're like, whoa. Like I could have done long division for the first time in my life right after I got hit with that ball. And then that 3 days later.
Been the flag, Liz.
Yeah. And then 3 days later, I was like, I was walking down the street and I was like, I have no idea where I am. Couldn't tell you.
Yeah. It's like the trying to do a roadside stop and trying to do the alphabet backwards. I can't do that sober. How the fuck am I going to do it?
Right? No, exactly. You just give up at that point. Like, do you just say, hey, guys, I can't do that. Like, I haven't had a drink, but I can't do that. Zed is the last one. A is the first one. I don't know in that sort of W through L thing. I don't know.
Give me a piece of paper. I'll do it. And then I'll just flip it around.
Yeah.
But I think that like, I don't know. I hope that he's okay. But let's talk about who threw that ball.
Yeah. Still, it was 95 mile an hour pitch, regardless. Well, so you guys saw clocked with 110.
It's like 2 degrees
miles per hour.
Kirky took a 98 mile an hour ball off the elbow.
Yeah.
I would assume he's going to wear an elbow guard from here on out. But I mean, he wore that thing like a champ. He walked right down to first base. You could see the seams starting to get purple on his elbow. And I was like, oh, I got hit last night. I was throwing BP for our team. I got hit in the elbow. I was down like a sack of hammers.
That's a hit. It's a hinge. Like, oh, that's like right on bone. But like, I am confused. It's like, if you look at Vladdy, he's geared up. He's got as much coverage as he could.
Yeah, he's got a mattress on.
He's got this thing. He's and like, And his cleats are also, he's got the leg guards. But I feel like I would did that too, but other players don't. I'm not really sure. Jason, what's your hot take on this? Is this, what's, why don't players?
Well,
wear the flat?
So here's the whole thing. I feel like some players wear it based on drip factor. And I don't know if you guys are aware that drip is a heavy thing in the baseball community. Yeah. That is where Jazz Chisholm, made all his chains and all that kind of fun stuff and slide the oven mitts they wear and all this other garbage. But I do find that like when you're watching college baseball, I do think that the shin foot guard is a great idea. You do certainly do hit balls straight down, and the velocity that it's taken off
three times, it broke three times, just saying.
Yeah. And the velocity that's taken off is not much. Elbow guard seems like a good idea. The problem that I see with it is that a lot of people swing out of it. They're just, it's on a bad hinge, right? Like it's got your bicep and it's got your forearm, and this muscle flexes while this one doesn't when you're swinging. And so it kind of, but some of the other stuff,
the new stuff makes me wonder how the hell Barry Bonds used to wear that, like literally what looked like a suit of armor on his right shoulder when he was hitting. Well, it was usually the Giants. He had that thing that was like a whole mechatronic looking thing.
Guys used to wear like volleyball elbow pads, like just anything to sort of deaden the blow. But I mean, if you get hit, I've seen it. I've seen it this year. Like the elbow guard that Vladdy uses is the same one my kid has. So it's a 44 custom elbow guard. If you kids out there, I love saying that because I sound like Don Cherry when I do it. You guys need an elbow guard, it is the best elbow guard going. Order it from 44, have it sent up from 44. You can get your name and all kinds of cool crap on it, but it's a two hinge elbow guard. So it's actually attached to your bicep. So if it comes loose, it stays attached. It won't flap around. And it's hinged way down here on your forearm. So the impact spot covers your whole elbow, like an old Jofa elbow pad for hockey.
A knight's armor.
Yeah, I don't know about the hand guards. And I mean, obviously, face guards are important. You don't want to take one in the mush. But I think you hit a point like
Bagwell used to wear, because he broke his hand so many times. It looked like he had just a regular batting glove, and then it had like a freaking pad that was like this far out.
Yeah. Kirk wears a bunch. Jansen wears one with no batter's gloves. He has that like spider thing on his hand. But I mean, we're getting to a point now where we're arguing the semantics of protecting ourselves from 102 mile an hour plus bullet that's being thrown at you. And what can you do to defend it? Like I know that you can buy shirts that have padding in them. There's catchers gear, t-shirts now that have padding up here, so that if something was to catch your collarbone or get you under here, at least you have some sort of deadening factor, but it still hurts like shit no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, I guess that stuff stops you from breaking shit. No reason, Jason. Yeah. It stops you from breaking stuff. So I guess, if I watch another kid in our league get picked off at first base while he's trying to put one of those stupid oven mitts on, we can't even slide head first. Doesn't make any sense to me. Don't put the damn thing on. Just run.
Didn't you see Ricky? Ricky night in the Red Sox game doing that.
Yeah. No. Ricky Henderson stole a million bases with no oven mitt on.
No mitty on. Just run.
No mitty.
No mitty.
Barely batting gloves. They were always in his back pocket. And he sliding head first.
Oh, dude, I see stuff like where kids take off $140 Bruce Bolt batter's gloves to put on other batter's gloves and then a sliding mitt over top of it. And you're like, bro, no.
Did they catch that in the broadcast the other day? That they were talking about George Springer and what he does with his cleats. And apparently he has certain cleats he wears when he's playing the outfield. Apparently he has certain ones when he's hitting and certain ones when he's in this kind of ballpark. And like, I'm picturing he's walking around with like a toolbox worth of freaking shoes.
It's like Mr. Rogers, where Mr. Rogers would take his shoes off and change his shoes every day. That's George Springer throughout the game.
And he puts on a sweater. Maybe that's what they're doing the hockey sweater hockey giveaway sweater. Next time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's it. You're onto something here, Liz. That's good. That's good detective reporting there.
Let's go.
We need to. That's just go. It. This just in. Liz has cracked the Springer code.
Got it. The man is Mr.
I gotta figure out how to make noises for everybody. So you have the whammy.
Yeah.
Right. Go ahead, Liz. You sound like you were about to say something.
No, I have no other comments based on that. But like I feel like the thing is that with Springer's cleats, that makes sense to me. You're playing on turf, you're playing on grass, you're playing on whatever. But the kids with the $27 million glovies and middies and stuff, guys, I love you, but you're not making it. I'm give sorry, it bud. Yep. You're not making it.
There's about 1% of you that will make it.
Probably less than Canada. Jason would know, but it's going to be less than 1% in Canada.
You would think. Yeah.
I feel like it's like that here in the States, too, just saying, because it's every other country in the world that seems to have the superstars now.
Yeah, and that is one of the things with baseball, you know, like I don't ever want to, you know, poo-poo on my kids' dreams of becoming Major League Baseball players, but they're starting to realize as we see these big ups to Dovan Heerden, the only kid from anywhere in the lower mainland or anywhere to be invited to a big camp down in Atlanta. I mean, this is the top kids in North America, and one of them from North Van got invited down there. We played a couple of years with Doe. He's an amazing human being. If anybody's going to make it into the majors, it'll be Doe, and he better remember that I was his coach at some point. You know, he didn't get that swing from nowhere. I mean, he's from South Africa. He only knows rugby and wrestle and wildebeests. So, yeah. But
well, give you that case, even right now. Let's talk Blue Jays low end of the minor leagues in Dunedin. Yeah. That Armin Namala is doing amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So. How many catchers do we currently have in the system?
78.
Oh, sorry, not catchers.
412.
Hey.
Too many. Don't worry about it. Which is why we were able to trade IKF. Just saying. So we got a question from our friends in the Peanut Gallery. Jeremy's got another one for us. So
he's flying today.
We're going to talk for a minute here on why Spencer Horowitz has been struggling lately. And it's amazing what the All-Star break will do for some players, but somebody that was on a heater like Spencer Horowitz, he's got 4 hits over the last 7 days. 2 of those are doubles, batting .138. Let me pull the last 15.
Do you want my
Spencer Horowitz has batting .180. And I'm going to give you the single center point of failure because we're about to do this part for picks to click. I picked him 2 weeks ago.
See, that's it. That's what I was going to say. Jeremy, if you'd like to know from a coach's perspective why I feel like he is struggling a little bit, two things. One, they're starting to get a book on him now. So the other teams are starting to get a book on Spencer. We watched it with Davis Schneider after Davis got so hot. They started to figure out you pitch him upstairs, he's not going to hit it. So with Spencer, same thing. He doesn't like getting busted inside. He is a good left-handed bat, but he's not a great left-handed bat. So he struggles a little bit on the lefty lefties. And if you look over the last couple of weeks, the Jays have faced a lot of left-handed pitching, and Spencer's in a spot where other teams can bring a lefty in to pitch to him. So that would be my 2 cents worth. Is you know, there other teams are starting to get a book on him. I will make another bold prediction. I think if you're going to pick a Jay who's going to have like an explosive year next year, it's him. He is.
Yeah. No,
he
has
every tool. He can hit the ball a ton. He is thick. He's athletic. He's got all these things going for him. And if they can lock him into a position for next year and make him an everyday position player, he could be as valuable as Bichette or Vladdy. Come next middle of next year. Bold prediction.
Yeah. So I'll give you my 2 cents. I think a lot of this tells your point here, Jason, on what you were just talking about. I was looking through the stats on Spencer Horowitz, and last 15 games, he has struck out 12 times. In the last 30 games period, you want to take a wild guess on how many strikeouts he's had?
12.
It was only 5 more strikeouts in those previous 15 games. So when you, to your point, they have a book on him. Yeah. He's going to be chasing some pitches.
It's and they've seen better starters.
The other part of that, correct. The other part of that could be, too, is that he's gotten away from his game plan just a little bit. Needs to make those adjustments and get back on page with it, because you hear this, it's as old of a saying as baseball is, period. Baseball is a game of adjustments, and clearly this is a play he has to do. So here I am doing my making fun of me.
I'm chirping. My hot take was also just like, yeah, they figured him out. But also, like, I mean, he's still relatively new. I don't know how many reverse adjustments he's had to make back, and he might just be a little bit lost in the sauce in doing it. And baseball's hard.
Just thinking how many baseball's different gloves he's had to carry around. He was the first baseman in the minors, the catcher we were talking about earlier, too. So it's hard to focus and be a great hitter when you're moving around the diamond like that. And to that point, he has been a great hitter. So I have a strange feeling it's going to continue to evolve.
Yeah, I'm not stressing.
Simple as that. So hopefully got you there, Jeremy.
Crushing it today, Jeremy. Oh. Really, really bringing it.
So on that note, should we talk picks to click, seeing we're at the almost at the hour mark here? Or is there anything else either of you would like to talk topic-wise before we end up wrapping the show here? And obviously, Peanut Gallery, chime in.
Yeah. I want to go jump in the lake. It's hot as heck here today.
Let's go.
It's like that here in Rochester, too. And Liz has been basically living on the lake. So how's fishing?
I haven't. It's been good.
How was the fish? Did you fish? Could you catch any fish?
About yay big or?
Yeah, they were big. The fish were the biggest fish, like, probably in the world. And the bass that I slammed, like, I'm slamming some pretty decent bass.
I've like, slammed a few bass in my time. Hey-o.
Yeah. Hey. Hey-o. So, says the big mouth in the top right corner. So, just saying. So, let's talk picks to click. Last week, Liz won the week while you were gone, Jason. So, she's catching up pretty damn quick. Just
I picked the most obvious one, man. So, she picked the most obvious one.
I'm pretty sure that's the name of the game, right? You want to win just like everybody else does. You don't want to suck. You don't want to be like me right now with only 3 wins. And Liz has been here half a quarter of the season. She's already got as many wins as I do after this week because there's pretty much no contest to this list right now.
No.
So I'm going to say, just to call out here, Jason, you were defaulted to the second worst active full-time Blue Jay, which was Davis Schneider last week. The previous week's underperformer was Dalton Varsho for a few weeks in a row. I picked George Springer. And like I said, the problem is there's just no fucking contest here. Liz picked the cheat code that is Vlad Jr. And Vlad did what I was showing you on the freaking, image a few minutes ago. So Liz has now moved full on into a tie for me for third place.
There you go. Don't mess with the bull. You get the horns.
What's up?
4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah. We'll see. So, hey, but Craig, keep in mind, she did take over for Ken, and Ken was a savant at this. So she has to, I think it's just like the Brady Bunch square. She's got the knowledge. And
this is what the overcoming company is. There's this giant gap in actual weeks here where nothing happened on Ken's account.
That's true.
So, because we didn't want to charge 2 people with Ken being gone. And Ken, I hope all is well. We love you. Thanks for editing all our terrible shenanigans every
week.
Love
you, Kenny.
So, but that puts me and her tied in the last place. The guest spot is still currently leading us by 1 extra win. And then, Jason, you are the current champion at the moment with 6 wins. So, to that point, Liz, me, and the guest spot still have some catching up to do. And it's technically, mathematically possible still. So there is that. So watch your ass.
Hey, it's still possible the Jays are going to make the playoffs. So, let's go.
Let's do it. Let's go.
Let's go, baby.
It's bad that, I'm looking up our lineup. I don't even know who's on our lineup all the way right now. So I have to review it.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. Because that's the other fun part right now. We got to look up who the hell was in our roster last
who's
night.
Who's on our team?
Because that's gonna be the fun part for me sifting through this part here, just even trying to pick who the worst full-time player was last week. And can't say it's Danny Jansen. He's not here anymore. I'm not gonna, Loprofito has played a whole 1 game. Can't say that. I'm not gonna nail the guest spot with Brian Servin. I think it's gonna have to be Dalton Varsho again. He at least played 7 games over the last 7 days. I'm just putting the guest spot in so know.
Okay.
He sucks. And then the winner gets to pick again. So, Liz, the one rule is that you can't pick the same person back-to-back weeks. So, unfortunately.
Craig, I have a new plan, okay? My plan is to pick. You know what? I think Springer. I think Springer is going to be the guy.
I like
there
it.
There you go. So, Liz is going to lock it in with Springer.
Second obvious.
Jason. See, and I host this stupid thing every week. I'm nice to my own co-hosts. So,
You know what, Craig? I'm going to default because I've been a bad co-host. I'm going to let you take this one because I feel like my pick is safe if I let you pick.
Why? Because you think I'm just going to do what Liz did last week and finally get my first win in about 8 weeks with Vlad?
Maybe.
Is that what you were counting on? I'm Trout this week. I'm picking Vlad. I'm done goofing around.
There you go. You guys ready?
I didn't want to do it for the longest of time because I was afraid that I would break it.
Yeah, well, and you had a bit of a curse there for a bit too. Whoever you picked got hurt.
The curse has been reversed. All these other people that I have picked have had decent weeks. It's not amazing week.
Are you guys ready?
So go ahead, drop it on us.
I'm going Joey Lupercito.
Let's go.
I'm going Joey Lupercito. Yep.
Yep. I was dancing between doing him and Vlad, and I'm like, you know what? I just need a win.
Oh, Craig, and now I can get you that Kiermaier jersey now that they're on sale. I'll send it to you next week.
But they're not on sale. Did you see that horrible stuff? I wasn't paying full pop for it. That's the thing. That was one of my favorite images over the last week. They took the time in the Jays shop from the picture I saw to put up a table of all the people that unfortunately have just been traded. And it says, we're going to miss you. There's a banner and everything, all that, but they're still full price.
Full price. That's our management. Yeah. That's our management. Let's go. Blue Jays. Get some.
Yep. There it is. So you can leave your complaints with the complaint department. Show airs and no, I'm just kidding. So anything else?
Just Lupercito, baby. I got Lupercito fever.
Yeah. Liz, I think you ended up posting another card, didn't you? Do you want to shake yourself from your card?
So I am posting. Hi, guys. So I actually have the cards now. It took a while. I do have them now in my hand. I'm going to be posting another, I think, four. We'll give some money to the kids' homes or your kids' concussion hospital. But I've, like, signed them and inscribed them with such wonderful sayings as, that hurt, or the worst. But I posted posted mine, which is one I've numbered number one, which just says, fuck. That's the card. That's my card. I'm trying to get Bo Bichette to sign it. If anybody can hook me up with Bobo, let me know. Yeah, Kevin Kiermaier tried for me. We couldn't make it happen, but
Happen. Maybe I'll see if Stottlemyre can get it signed. We know you're out there, Todd Stottlemyre.
We know you
are. We want you on this show.
We hope you're listening.
Come over. Yeah. Come on,
we want you on this show. The only thing I wanted to... One quick, I'm thinking quick. I've been trying for the last little while to bring baseball gear into this great country of ours, as it is very, very, very tough to get said gear into Canada. I have partnered with Birdman Bats. They are now one of the most used bats in the MILB. If go to your local MILB game and you will see Birdman Bats. They're being used by all of the stars that they've got. If you are interested in getting a Birdman bat, hit me on any of my socials, anything like that. I'll get you a really smoking deal on a Birdman bat. These things are top level. Pros are using them all over the place. Starling Marte led off the All-Star game with a complete custom Birdman, and Ozzy Albies has been a Birdman guy. If you go down the list, I could show you guys. There's all these new superstars. Yeah.
See, Jason, this is why I just need to get you, like, you know, putting on our Twitter, our Instagram, everything, you know.
Oh, just wait. It's all coming. We're going to get
what I gave you and start.
Yeah. You're going to get you guys are going to get more social media stuff than you ever wanted.
Yeah. There's a reason this is a team effort here at Jay Bird Watching. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
So on
together,
that note,
we
though,
make a
Jason,
super robot.
Send me those links. I'll make. Yeah, exactly.
I'm
a bunch of little tiger robots that make one big super robot. So. Give me that link sometime, buddy, and I'll make sure it gets on our link tree stuff too. So on that note, Blue Jays fans, thank you very much. 60 people still currently on the show. So make sure the Peanut Gallery guests, I want to hear you. We thank you very much for Jeremy for dropping those questions on it. We love you listening here. This is the Barroom Chat for Blue Jays fans. That was the goal from day one in 2017 when I helped start this show with a couple of other friends, and I obviously have two more here. So we're going to keep doing that, but we want to be able to talk to you, feedback, all that kind of good stuff. That is 100% what this was founded on, was to be the Barroom Chat for Blue Jays fans. We've just turned into the official podcast of Jays Journal and Fanside.com at the same time, which was hopefully making sure we got to more of you to be able to talk Toronto Blue Jays baseball in general. And then, like I said, we're toying with the idea of starting a purely collectibles job, which we get to talk about with Liz's baseball cards, Jason's baseball bats, all the other silly goofball stuff that we do with baseball cards in general, too. So until then, make sure you follow us on any TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, anywhere you get your podcasting pleasures from. And we are here to chit chat and hang out with you all. So, everybody, have a great evening. And as always, let's go Blue Jays.
Thank you for listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, at Birdwatching GC, and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining us to our Patreon at patreon.com/birdwatchinggc. Go Jays, go.
Woo!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.